Thank you, Duncan, and good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We do feel honored to know that you join us on Sunday mornings. Please turn with me to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. My focus is going to be verse 9, but we're going to look at, I'm just going to read verses 9 to 11. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one is going to attack and harm you because I have many people in this city. And so Paul stayed for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. Now, last week I spoke on the Great Commission. And given that this is Missions Weekend, I've decided to continue our thoughts and our focus on the topic of missions and sharing the word of God with others. So don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Don't be silent. I have no doubt that when Paul heard the Lord say this to him, that he knew what God was referring to, that he was to keep on speaking specifically about Jesus Christ and about the message of the cross and of the resurrection, as well as everything that Christ had commanded them to keep. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, Paul says, "For necessity has been laid upon me, and woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." So Paul realized that it wasn't enough simply to talk about history or to talk about science or ethics or philosophy or current events. Paul, you must get to talking about Jesus and his gospel. Don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Don't be silent. I know that some of you who have heard me over the years have heard some of these stories, but I'm going to repeat them. I had a friend of mine. I call her a friend. She was a person who attended church, and her name was Heather. And when she was diagnosed with cancer, she got an opportunity to meet with a lot of other individuals who had cancer, and she would always call me and say, could you come with me to meet so-and-so and talk to them? And so I got a chance to go visit a particular person, a woman who was in the last stages of cancer. And she had been an instructor. She was an academic, a person that everybody would have just assumed that she was well-informed, well-educated. And I asked her, has anybody ever shared the gospel with you? And her response to me was, I'm sorry, but I don't even know what you're asking me. And, you know, it struck me that at one time what we might have assumed was common knowledge in Canada, common knowledge in the city, the word gospel was no longer familiar, even to somebody who was an academic. And I would say that it's now safe to assume that most people have either not heard the gospel or not paid very close attention to the most important message given to us on earth. And I would just encourage all of us as believers, do not assume that people have heard the gospel before. Don't assume it. Don't assume that they know what it is. Don't assume that they even know what the word means. Don't assume that academic people know what the gospel is. Don't assume that your children know what it is. Don't assume that your family knows what it is. Just work with the assumption that people need to hear. Just assume that they've never heard it. Now, this particular person was heavily medicated, and she was kind of going in and out of consciousness. And so I had to highlight the main points and be very brief, which, by the way, is a great exercise. If you only have 5 minutes to share with somebody, how would you say it? How would you put it? And so I tried to share what the gospel story, because the gospel is not just an event. It's also part of a story. And I just mentioned here that, you know, God created you to know him, to love him, to have a relationship with him, but we've all turned away. We've gone our own way. We have sinned against the Lord, ignored him. But even after everything that we've done, God still loved us, so loved the world that he sent his only son to go into the world to live a perfect life, and he would die on a cross for our sins so that the punishment that should belong to us fell on him, and his righteousness would be attributed to us. And because of him, we can receive God's forgiveness, we can become children of God, and we can enjoy everlasting life with him if you trust him. And I'll never forget, she turned to Heather and she said to her, "Wow, Heather, that is such good news." And, you know, here's a person who never heard the gospel before, and unknowingly, she was giving the very biblical definition of the word gospel, because it means good news. Remember what the angel said, the message to the shepherds, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy." And that's what God wants, Paul. That's what God wants his people to do. He wants us to be able to go to people and say, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy." And if Christians stop talking to people about the gospel, they won't know what it is. And so what the Lord says to Paul, he says to us as well, don't stop speaking, or keep on speaking and don't be silent. So what I want to do this morning is look at the question, what is stopping Christians from speaking, from sharing the gospel? And I'm going to address a number of mindsets, probably six. Some of these are excuses, some of these are false justifications for not sharing the gospel. Some of them are just pure misunderstandings, and so let's begin. The first mindset, I think, goes something like this. My goal as a Christian is to live the Christian life as best I can so that everybody around me will realize that I'm a person of integrity, that I'm really different, that I treat people with kindness. At work, I'm punctual, I'm conscientious, and at home, I love my family, and even on the road, I keep the speed limit. I mean, that's my goal. Now, I'm going to suggest to you that is a wrong mindset to have, and that it can lead to not sharing the gospel. And I understand if some people, how could this be a problem? First, let me say that I do want to praise God for people who do live out their faith. We should live out our faith as best we can. But have you ever heard the verse quoted in Christian circles? Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. You know what book that's found in the Bible? It's in the same book as you'll find God Helps Those Who Help Themselves. Okay, it's not in the Bible. It's not a verse in the Bible. The closest you might get to it is found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, where Peter says to wives, says, "Be subject to your husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives." Now, my understanding of what Peter is saying here is that you've tried sharing the word with your husband, but he's resisting it. He doesn't want to have anything to do with it. So my counsel to you now is just focus on your good conduct. No doubt as well, you know, you still can pray. But these resistant husbands, they already know that their wives are Christians. They've heard and resisted. So that's the context. It's a bit different than the scenario I'm thinking of, where people are just living their lives to the best of their abilities, but not really sharing that they're believers or what it means to be a Christian. Think of it this way as well. If good deeds and a really good life was enough, why would the Lord be telling Paul, don't be afraid, keep on speaking, don't be silent, for I am with you? Did Paul not live a good life? Did he not live a life of integrity and a life of abundant works, of good deeds? And even more to the point, why would Jesus spend so much of his ministry speaking the gospel if a good life was all that was needed? So I think it's important that our quality of life, be it ever so perfect, is not enough to win people to Christ unless we share the gospel with them. And this should be self-evident to everybody, really. If you're walking by the street and you see a homeless person there, and you take out and you give him $20, will that person be able to connect that deed with Jesus Christ and with his gospel? Obviously not. Not unless you say something. Now, I read a testimony of a young man who came to faith as a result of someone sharing the gospel with him. And, of course, they in turn were told, now that you've heard the gospel, I want you to go and tell, to share it with somebody else. So he went up to his boss, whom he really admired. And he said, boss, I became a Christian recently. And his boss just interrupted him right at that point and said, oh, he said, praise God, I've been praying for you for years. I'm a Christian also. The young convert said, well, why didn't you ever tell me about Christ? And he said, well, my approach is to live out my faith in front of people and let God do the rest. And this young convert said, but boss, you were a main reason why I didn't become a Christian. And he said, why? What wrong did I do? He said, you didn't do anything wrong. It's just that you were such a good and happy person that I concluded that becoming a Christian was not necessary to being a really good person or living a happy life. You know, people can draw different interpretations about good deeds. I remember one individual saying to me, if I see a young person keeping the speed limit and doing everything right, I conclude that he must have drugs in his car. Oh, yeah, see, there's different conclusions that you can draw from somebody keeping the law and being good all the time. So of course, you know, the Lord is saying to Paul, listen, of course you must live a godly life, but in addition, you must speak. Understand that, you know, losing the ability to speak the gospel is a great loss, even though we might be able to still do good. Keep speaking. So that's the first mindset. The second, really, that I encounter amongst Christians is that sometimes people think that because of my past sins or my imperfections, I'm really disqualified from speaking to others. So in a sense, we're almost, you know, guilted into silence. And I want to say that our past sins and our imperfections do not justify our silence. I mean, again, Paul, you know, said of himself that he had persecuted the people of God, and he referred to himself as the greatest of sinners. I think looking back at the things that have happened in our lives where we have fallen short, it should make us humble, and therefore we should be able to speak humbly to others when they too have fallen short. But remember that God uses our brokenness and he uses our past sins to reach other people. And so I would say, don't be afraid to tell people about your past, but focus on the power of the gospel. Focus on Christ's forgiveness. You know, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. And here's Paul saying, I was once a persecutor of the church. Just share your story with people. Let people know why you need Christ. Let them know that although you think yourself even a great sinner, that praise God, you have a great Savior. So be yourself. Tell people what God has done for you personally. The best people that could share the gospel are people who've experienced the grace and the mercy of God in their own lives. Now, again, I'm not encouraging people to just live a careless or godless life and continue to share the gospel. That's not what I'm saying. But given that we fall, don't let Satan put a guilt trip on you and say, okay, well, I can never share this anymore. I'm no longer worthy. A third error is when we convince ourselves that evangelism, sharing the gospel, is not our responsibility because we have not been given the gift of evangelism. So usually what people end up assuming is that responsibility is primarily for the pastors. And by the way, I know a lot of pastors who don't share the gospel or evangelize outside of the pulpit. There are people who think it's only, you know, special people with special gifts, extroverts. They're the ones who should be out there sharing the gospel, not me. I don't qualify. And again, we want to say there's some truth to this, that God does raise up specific people with specific gifts, even the gift of evangelism, like I believe Billy Graham had. But he calls upon all of us as believers in Christ to be witnesses and to share the good news of Jesus with anybody who is in our sphere of influence. There are so many people who will never meet those individuals with the gift of evangelism or with those special gifts, but they will meet you. And as Peter puts it, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Every one of us need to take these words to heart. Don't be silent. Speak. Be not afraid. A fourth mindset is more of a theological one. It's called the hyper-Calvinist mindset. And don't confuse hyper-Calvinism with Calvinism itself. But these are folk who claim that they have such a strong belief in the sovereignty of God, that God is sovereign and that whoever is going to come to Christ, well, God is the one who's going to initiate it, he's going to do it, and he's the one who saves people. He alone saves people, and he doesn't need anybody to actually get involved and be concerned about having to speak and share the gospel. Right? If God wants a person saved, he will save them. That's usually the refrain that we hear. And again, I would say that theology has one side that is right to it, but again, it's wrong in the fact that it ignores the means by which God fulfills his work of salvation, so that God is not only sovereign in people coming to Christ, he's also sovereign in how he chooses to do it. And how he chooses to do it is through us, the church, the community. And that's why, again, you know, we read, God says to Paul, I have many people in this city. Now, one way of interpreting this is that God is saying to Paul, listen, I have a number of people in this city that will become my disciples, and it will be through your sharing of the gospel. That's why I want you to speak. So speak, because it's only in speaking the gospel that these lost sons and daughters will come to a saving knowledge. And the greatest evangelists, including the Calvinists like Spurgeon and Whitfield and many others, I mean, they worked night and day. They worked with all their might to see people come to Christ, even though they acknowledged that God was sovereign through it all. There's a fifth application as well. It's when we settle for a minimum sharing of the gospel. Person so-and-so, I shared the gospel with them 20 years ago, so I've done my job. It reminds me of that story that I've shared a number of times about the wife who came to her husband and said, you never say you love me anymore. And he responds by saying, look, I told you I loved you when I married you, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know. And in a sense, that's the way we're responding as well. You know, I shared the gospel with you 20 years ago, and if God ever changes his mind or if the gospel ever changes, then I'll come and let you know. I was talking to Elaine just yesterday, and she was just talking about her conversion story. And, you know, she had heard the gospel many times before. She had heard the story of Jesus many times. But it didn't click. It didn't have any effect on her. But then at one particular time, it was exactly that invitation was the invitation that she needed to hear at that point in her life. Her heart then was ready, and she was responsive. So, you know, people need to hear the gospel more than once. You know, parents can fall into this trap. Oh, I shared it with them when they were young, you know, 6 years and under, or 10 years and under, and okay, so now they're in their 30s. You know, it just really struck me that it's so easy to fall into this trap that I don't need to share the gospel because I've already done it. And I'm sure they know it. I'm sure they responded to it. So in regards to the people in our lives, don't be silent with them. Speak. And the sixth mindset is because of fear. And I believe that this seems to be the main reason why Paul needed to hear this encouragement from the Lord. Right? Don't be silent, keep on speaking. Do not be afraid. So why does the Lord say that? Well, obviously, Paul had reasons to be afraid. Humanly speaking, I mean, Paul, he experienced rejection. He experienced persecution. And when we experience rejection and persecution, what happens to us, right? We become very reluctant to share the gospel. And I think it needs to be said loud and clear to the church that everyone who is going to be faithful in speaking the gospel and the truths about Jesus sooner or later is going to encounter negative reactions from people. It's going to happen. What's the aim of the evil one? The aim is to get us to stop speaking. Stop sharing. I have to say, I mean, looking back, Looking back, I can think of just a number of examples where this happened to me. I was working in a Jewish hospital as a sitter with patients, and I shared the gospel with this Jewish man who was in the hallway. He was just lying down on a bed. And I remember him screaming, "Oh my God, I cannot believe that this guy is telling me about Jesus in a Jewish hospital." it was the Jewish general in Montreal, and he just screamed that out. Awkward. I recall sitting on a bus with an older gentleman that I worked with, and I tried, you know, broaching the subject with him. And no sooner did I do that than he screamed in the bus. And he said, "Oh yeah, where did Cain get his wife?" It was obvious to me that he wasn't really interested in having a conversation. I mean, everybody in the bus, no doubt, heard him. I remember my older brother saying, "You know, don't try to convert me. It's not going to work." Schoolmates saying, "Watch out for Vic. He has become a religious fanatic." Hey, these are very unpleasant experiences. And, you know, they made me think twice about telling people about Jesus. Don't be surprised if you have somebody whisper in your ear, "Listen, if you want peace, if you want acceptance, if you want approval, stop preaching the gospel to everybody." Okay? So just keep that in mind. Every good news bearer will have to address the issue of fear. Every one of them is going to have to do that. If I can just read you not only Paul's calling, but Jeremiah's calling, chapter 1, verse 6 and 8. It says, "Do not say, 'I am only a youth,' for to all whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak." And then he says, "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." So here he is, Jeremiah, go, say what I want you to say, and don't be afraid, because I'm going to be with you. Here's Ezekiel, his calling, chapter 2, verses 2 to 7. Ezekiel says, "He said to me, 'Son of man, I'm sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. And the people to whom I'm sending you are obstinate and stubborn. But say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, and whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man," here it is, "do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid. The briars and thorns are all around you, and you live among scorpions. Don't be afraid of what they say or be terrified by them. Though they are a rebellious people, you must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious." See, you see the pattern there? Like, when I give you a message, when God gave these prophets a message, it wasn't going to always be nicely received. And so once again, Paul realizes as well that he's, you know, God is pushing his people out of their comfort zones. "I'm not telling you to say things that everybody's going to love. I want you to say them because I'm telling you to say them. And it's the only hope that people have. But the world hates the light. It hates the gospel. But there are those whom God has in the city that he's going to draw to himself. For that reason, you have to preach the gospel. So when God says, keep on speaking and don't be silent, he is saying to Paul, encouraging Paul, "Paul, I'm with you, and I want you to be courageous." We need Christians to be courageous in order to get the word out And if we're lacking in courage, we need to ask the Lord for courage. Because most of us, me included, I am not naturally courageous. And by the way, sometimes I think, you know, we say to ourselves, oh, I'm just being wise, I'm just being careful, I'm just being, you know, so on and so forth. But if you really were honest with yourself, you would see that it's not about being wise, it's not about being careful, it really is about being afraid. And we just don't allow ourselves to hear that. Well, the Lord said it straight to Paul, it's because of fear. And he said the same to his prophets, that's why you're not sharing. That's why you're hesitant to tell people, because you're afraid. You're afraid of their reactions. And ask the Lord for courage. I've shared this story as well before, but I just love it, where a mother was teaching her children about just different people groups in the world. And then she told her son about cannibals and how they eat other people. And he responded by saying, oh, gross. And she said to him, yes, but they too need someone courageous to go and tell them about Jesus. And her 7-year-old son replied, Mom, I'll do it on one condition, that I can call them and tell them about Jesus over the phone. So, you know, I mean, the young lad, I mean, he experienced fear, but at least he understood that something had to be done. We need courage, and we can be creative, but the word has to get out. And God is expecting this generation of Christians to get the word out. So any thought, any emotion, any theology, any so-called wisdom that discourages you or gives you a justification for not sharing your faith, I want you to know that it is not based on the Word of God, and it is not prompted by the Spirit of God. What we need to pray for is, God, just work in my heart to the point that where I feel constrained to tell others. When Paul shared about his own heart in regards to his love for the people of Israel, he said, I have intense sorrow and continual anguish in my heart. Man, I often asked myself, do I have intense sorrow and continual anguish in my heart? Wow. Says, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from the Messiah for the benefit of my brothers, my countrymen, by physical descent. Wow, that's amazing. I mean, that level of love and concern for the lost, I mean, we see it in Jesus. We see it. You know, that's why I encourage you to read biographies about missionaries and evangelists, and you'll see that God is, you know, I mean, they were just so gripped by the importance of sharing the gospel with the lost. Alexander McLaren put it this way. He said, friends, I venture to believe that the measure in which this impulse to speak the word and use direct efforts for somebody's conversion is felt by Christians is a very fair test of the depth of their own religion. If this word has not a grip on you, impelling you to speak it, then you don't have a grip of it. When the Spirit of God has a grip on us, man. If we have the Spirit of God and allowing the Spirit of God to have his way in us, we cannot keep Jesus and the gospel to ourselves. We can't, as we reflect on the consequences of rejecting Christ. Again, in the parable of Lazarus and the poor man, after spending some time in the place of torment, Lazarus makes the following request in Luke chapter 16, verse 28. He says, please, Send someone to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. And it was Spurgeon who made the point that his brief experience was enough to make him want to be a missionary. You see that? That's right. So, what do we do? How do we, you know, do you want to be held accountable for this? When I first became a Christian, I didn't belong to any church. And then I met a group of people that were evangelizing out in the streets. And I thought, man, I want to be like that. I want to tell people about Jesus. I didn't realize that they were a cult. But as I got to know this group of people, they were all about evangelism. And after a day, we would gather. It was called a big meeting in the evening. We would all gather together, and everybody had to share about who did you share the gospel with today. Everybody. And I tell you, you did not want to be in that group if you hadn't shared the gospel, unless you had a really good excuse. So it got to the point, after being with this group for about a year, that I could not go on a bus and sit next to a stranger without starting a conversation and sharing the gospel with them. I mean, we were encouraged to start the conversation with anybody and everybody, whoever we were around. And, you know, you learned. You learned how to start conversations with people. And one of the reasons you started doing that is because in your mind, you're like, in the evening, I got to go home and I got to present before all my brothers and sisters about whether I shared the gospel today or not. We were held accountable for that. And if you did not, you were called a backslider. So I preferred the stress of talking to a stranger than the stress to have to meet my brothers and sisters in the evening and being called a backslider and being told to repent in front of everybody. Now, you know, I look back at that, and it's a form of legalism. But really, I mean, I think it would do every Christian, every young Christian, some good to just be part of something like that for a while. You learn. You got discipled. Whereas, look, now, you know, we're against legalism, right? So do we ever challenge one another? Do we ever say, hey, when was the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? Right? We don't even ask that as a church. It's like, oh, that's legalism. Well, I don't know. I mean, I hear the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord says, don't be afraid. Don't be silent. Keep speaking. So I want to encourage everybody to pray. To say, Lord, if there's anybody, you know, when you go out, as you start your day, just say, Lord, if there's anybody that I can share the gospel with today, just guide me, give me discernment, give me boldness, but I want to share the gospel. If I could just share this story, it just happened this week. I was at Metrotown Center having lunch at the food court. And if you've been there, you realize that a lot of tables are all closed, so you can't sit there. And then so it's very hard to find a table. And I was the only one sitting in where you could have 4 people. And then I heard this couple right behind me, and they said, wow, there's no tables are available. So I turned around and I said, look, if you guys are willing to, you know, to risk it, I'm pretty sure I haven't tested positive. I got a family, everybody's all right. And so they said, sure. And again, in back of my mind, I'm always like, Lord, if there's anybody that I can share the gospel with, you know, bring them. And so we started talking about, and it's so easy to start talking to people, because if you start talking about COVID, everybody can relate. So if you're wondering how to start a conversation, that's an easy part. But how do you bring Christ up? Well, sitting at the table and we're talking about different things and talking about, you know, different theories about COVID and you know, we're like, well, it's sometimes hard to know who to listen to, hard to know who to trust. And it was a couple, a guy and husband and a wife, and the husband says, yeah, it is hard to know who to trust. That's why we've put our trust in Jesus Christ. I almost, you know, 5-10 minutes into the conversation, and he throws that in. So, you know, here he, I found out that she was a missionary. He was as well, so that here are these missionaries, and they're praying, Lord, if there's anybody that I can share the gospel with, let it happen. And I was sharing, so... But I really, really appreciated the fact that 5 minutes in, 5-10 minutes in, they found a way, and it was organic. You know what I mean by organic? It wasn't like you know, out of nowhere. It was like we were talking about trusting, who to trust, and he said, "Oh, well, we trust Jesus Christ," and we need to be able to introduce the gospel. And just sometimes it's just the one-liner, just throw it out. If people respond to it, they do. If they don't, they don't. But get it out there. Give it an opportunity. As I said, I encourage people to, you know, I like it when it's organic. I don't like when evangelism or conversations are forced. If I could again share a story about Heather. Get this phone call from Heather. And she, her husband was not a believer, and she left a message on my phone, and she was whispering, and she said, "Vic, I got Eric. He's coming to lunch tomorrow with us. It'll be a great opportunity for you to tell him about Jesus. I'll make sure that he sits next to you. Bye." And I thought, oh my, a bad feeling about that. Anyway, so we're having lunch, and she sits on the other side of me, and we hadn't gotten around to Jesus yet and the gospel. And she, you know, just kept making faces at me and giving me the eye. And then she said, "Oh, I got to go to the washroom." And then she turns around and, you know, and I was like, oh, it was so tense. It was so tense. And in fact, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And I told her later that I don't work well under that kind of, you know, pressure. And subsequent to that, I mean, I took him to go see the movie The Passion, and then we had a chance to talk, and I've had plenty of conversations with him, but it was just this, you know, it's like, I like it when it's organic, when it just happens, it's normal, and it's a normal part of conversation. But, I mean, what I appreciated about Heather is that she really wanted her husband saved. And the other thing about Heather, which was really interesting as I look back in her, she didn't think that she had the gift of evangelism or the ability to really speak to people. So what she did is she met so many individuals, and what she would say is, "Can my pastor come and visit you?" So she wouldn't tell them about the gospel or anything. She would wait till I came along. But I tell you, you know, she made sure that people heard the gospel. And so even if she didn't feel that she could do it, she made sure that somebody would be able to do it. Let me close with this. There's a story about a little girl that introduced her friend to Jesus. And after prayer, the friend asked the other girl who was evangelizing, said, "Is my brother also going to heaven?" And so she responded, "Well, yes, if he believes in Jesus." And then she looked at her and she noticed that she wasn't very happy. And so she said, "But if you don't want him to go, all you have to do is don't tell him." If you don't want people to know God, if you don't want people to be saved, if you don't want people's sins forgiven, if you don't want people to enjoy eternal life, and escape an eternity of hell, all you have to do is not tell him. This is precisely why Jonah, by the way, ran away. He did not want the Ninevites to be forgiven. So it raises the question, like, can we really say that we love our friends, really say that we love our neighbors and family members if we make no attempt to tell them? Let's just keep this word of exhortation from the Lord. Don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. And don't be silent. Our Father, let us pray that we would be faithful to getting the message out, to get it out humbly, to get it out accurately, to get it out truthfully, with compassion, with love, but to get it out. And I pray for us as Christians, as we are all isolated, yet at the same time, Lord, we're still meeting people, and we still have access through phone and internet and all the others. I pray that you would work in our hearts, and not only that we would feel compelled to somehow fulfill this duty, but that you would fill our hearts with love for the lost, and that we would realize how good it is that we have good news to share with them. Save many people this year, Lord. Save our friends, our families. Be glorified through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.